Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2016 Catapult Your Career Success Summit, career strategies and tactics for executives, managers, and leaders who desire to make a bigger impact, accomplish more in less time, and ultimately achieve greater success and recognition. I'm your host, Linda Catalan, Career Acceleration Coach, and the president of Results Catalyst, Inc., a professional coaching and training company. You can check us out online at resultscatalyst.ca. I am so excited. Today is another great day of this terrific telesummit, and I'm thrilled to have you all here on the call with me today. We have such an amazing lineup of guest speakers and career experts, and as a reminder, these calls are recorded, so if you miss one or wish to listen to one again, you do have the option to listen to the replays for free for a limited time or to purchase the recordings for your permanent library. I know you will receive valuable information from each of our incredible speakers. I also encourage you to invite others to sign up for this free telesummit and spread the news. Now, joining me today on the 2016 Catapult Your Career Success Summit is Susan Freeman, speaking on the topic of executive presence for leaders. Do you have a resilience roadmap? Now, I'm thrilled to be interviewing Susan Freeman today. Not only is she an awesome guest and speaker, but she's also a very dear friend of mine, so I am thrilled to have her with me. And what is she going to speak about? She's going to talk about executive presence and why it matters for your career growth. You'll learn the key ingredients of executive presence and the one secret ingredient you can use right away. Also, you'll learn how to create your resilience roadmap. Now, today we're going to have an excellent session, and I just know it. And before we get started, let me tell you just a little bit more about Susan. Susan received her MBA in marketing from Columbia University and her BA in psychology from Wellesley College. She is the author of Step Up Now, 21 Powerful Principles for People Who Influence Others. She's an accredited coach with the International Coach Federation, as well as with Newfield Network, where she received her coach training. She is also a certified business facilitator with the MSP Institute. Susan is a member of the International Coach Federation and a professional certified coach. Her message has been communicated in many venues as a corporate keynote, event speaker, on television and radio, and as a leadership columnist. Hello and welcome, Susan.
Oh, Linda, it's such a delight and honor to be with you again on this exciting 2016 Telesummit. And thank you for that warm introduction.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I know the listeners are going to be really keen on this topic because it's such a hot topic. So I'm going to dive right in and get started with the interview. So, Susan, tell me, how do you define executive presence?
Well, it is such a hot topic, as you said. And as a student of this area, I've been researching and learning and engaging in so many ways with all the aspects of helping leaders create the results that they desire, how to lead authentically, joyfully, and sustainably. And, you know, I've had my work influenced by so many diverse areas, you know, neuroscience, the cutting-edge research in the field of leadership, positive psychology, and ancient Eastern wisdom in the yogic tradition. So today, what I'm going to share with leaders is an integrative approach to executive presence that touches on a holistic way in which I view how to integrate an executive presence mindset into all that you do. So in her landmark 2014 book on the topic, Sylvia Ann Hewlett, who is the founding president of the Center for Talent Innovation, did a study, and she interviewed 4,000 college-educated professionals, 268 of whom were senior-level executives. And she asked them, what do people look for when they evaluate an employee's executive presence, or let's call it EP for short? And they conducted 40 focus groups. And they interviewed many, many leaders on this topic. So they were trying to get a handle on what is it? We know it when we see it. We know we need more leaders who have it. We need a lot of them. Barack Obama has it. Sheryl Sandberg has it. Nelson Mandela has it. It's universal. And yet we have a hard time pinpointing what it is. That's what we're going to discuss today. As we dive in, I want to give you a bit of an analogy from the field of music. There was a research study that was published in the National Academy of Sciences in 2013, and it was done by the University of London. And in this sample of 1,000 reports, people were shown silent videos of pianists who were performing in international competitions, and they picked out winners more of the time than those who could also hear the soundtrack. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, wow.
So the study concluded that the best predictor of success in an international competition was a pianist's ability to communicate passion through body language and facial expression. The judgments were made even before the first note sounded.
Wow.
And this is also true in the workplace. This is what we know. Another study was conducted at Harvard Medical School and at the Massachusetts General Hospital, and that suggests that colleagues size up your competence, your trustworthiness, and your likability in 250 milliseconds. This is based on your appearance. So if we know that EP is a measure of your image, that your star material. It's the ability to lead confidently, to be authentic, to be true to who you really are in the world. I think it can be cultivated. It's not about following a particular system or a program, because your own authenticity is such a huge part of it. And that's what we're going to be seeing in today's examples. In the work that I do with clients, I focus on a system that I've developed to help them remove the internal obstacles, the habits that prevent them from expressing their own innate executive presence. Now, if we go to Sylvia Ann Hewlett's study from the Center for Talent Innovation, her research showed that there were three key components, three pillars of executive presence, and they're not all equal. They are universal, and they interact. Here we go. The first one is how you act, and she's calling that gravitas. The second is how you speak, and she calls that communication. And the third is how you look, and that is called appearance. So can you guess which one beats the others hands down for the number of executives who said it really mattered?
I think appearance really matters.
Appearance does really matter. Appearance, though, is from the executive surveyed, it was only identified by 5% as the most important.
Mm.
Yet, it is the most critical first filter. So, in other words, an appearance blunder can create serious trouble and stop you from being able to even demonstrate that you possess the first two. So it's important, but it's not the most important in terms of the number of people who said that it was valuable, but it could eliminate you if you don't have it. The good news is that grooming and polish were seen as more important than physical attractiveness or body type. And that's a huge relief, right? Because we can acquire both grooming and polish.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious then, so was it how you act then?
It's gravitas. Gravitas is considered the core by the most number of the senior executives. In fact, 2/3 of them, 67%, said that it mattered the most, with communication coming in at about around 28% of those surveyed. So people say, you know, what is gravitas? There are five key areas that made up gravitas by the senior executives who were surveyed. The number one pick is projecting grace under fire. The second is projecting intellectual horsepower. You got to know your stuff. The third is confidence and credibility to get your stuff across and to get buy-in, even when things get really rough. People know you've got it because you communicate authoritatively. You have the ability to speak and to command a room. So this includes tone of voice, bearing, and body language. And, of course, eye contact matters enormously in that area. And this is supported by some of the research that I came across early on when I started working in executive coaching on this notion of what do people pay attention to? Is it the words you speak, or is it how you are being? Or is it a factor, a combination of both factors? And there was some research that was done at UCLA about 30, 35 years ago that's been replicated since then that shows that the degree to which a leader has credibility and influence is attributable to 55% to the body, how they hold their body, how they carry themselves, how they comport themselves, their posture, the image of projection. 37% vocal tone and emotion, yeah, and only 10% was the words. So this tells us, again, this, you know, research very much dovetails with the research from Executive Presence, that teaching people how to focus on how to talk to others isn't, for me, where the action is. It's teaching people how to access their innate abilities to project, to be confident, to be authentic, to communicate in the best way that they possibly can. That, to me, is what's really going to give them the boost.
Wow. Now, Susan, why does this all matter? You know, why
well,
does it...
Yeah, it matters because, you know, you've got to know your stuff, right, Linda? I mean, we have to know our subject matter. You can't go in and project confidence if you don't know what you're talking about. So you've got to know your stuff. You've got to have substance. You've got to have that credibility. But if you've got all those things, the only thing that's between you and the top job is gravitas. And that can be cultivated. So many times there are people who are subject matter experts that know their stuff, but they don't get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
They get passed over, and they're oftentimes distraught and confused or perhaps even frustrated or angry. How did this happen? I'm so knowledgeable. I know so much. I contribute so much. If they lacked gravitas, that is going to be the thing that probably derailed them. And oftentimes it's very difficult for bosses and executives to give feedback on the topic of gravitas. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on.
Oh,
in the interview.
Okay, good. Great. Now, so let's go to some examples of how, let's say, not having executive presence can derail a career.
Well, think about how gravitas blunders could really cost you in the workplace. In the focus group interviews from this research study, from Executive Presence, the book, the types of blunders that were the most costly for career moves were a lack of integrity, a lack of being shallow or seen as a lightweight, sexual impropriety in the workplace, an inflated ego or bullying others to get what one wants, or off-color or insensitive jokes at the expense of others. So the lack of ability to have a strong connection and presence around gravitas is a pretty serious derailer.
Wow. How would you describe, Susan, the most important signs of executive presence?
Well, there are, I'm going to take them by the different areas, by gravitas and communication. And the numbers were slightly different for men and women, but not by a huge amount. So what I'll give today are the percentages for women. Gravitas includes confidence and grace under fire. So 78% said that that was the most important. And if you think about examples in the world, one that was referenced in the book and that I think we all can relate to is Captain Sullenberger, who landed that U.S. Air flight in the Hudson River. He had confidence and grace under fire. You think about someone who in a split second or in a few seconds had to make a decision and was absolutely confident that he knew what to do, and he did it, knowing that there was a huge amount at risk, but having the ability to stick to his gut and to go forward with it. The second part of gravitas that is important is decisiveness and showing teeth. So 78% of the leaders surveyed said that that was a critical sign for executive presence, being decisive. So we invite people to think about how to show teeth. You know, choose your moments with care. Listen, gather, weigh, and then, you know, take action. Demand action. But do it judiciously. The third highest sign for executive presence by the number of people who rated it was integrity and speaking truth to power. And 64% of the respondents said that that was the most important sign of executive presence. And so standing up for what one believes, even if it's not convenient, even if there's risk, you know, sometimes you can lose a job over that, but you can create a relationship or a friendship. Sometimes that could be the reason that you get hired in another job, because someone saw your ability to speak truth to power and valued that in you. The fourth quality that was assessed by 61% of the respondents is a very, very hot topic, and that is emotional intelligence. So Kevin Gardner says, it may be more important to comfort a room rather than command it. And I think so many times we mistake leadership for those who are commanding. But leaders today need to do a lot more in the area of emotional intelligence in asking the question, what did people need from me in order to move forward? What do they really need? And inviting the question rather than feeling as if you have to command it or control it. That shows a high degree of emotional intelligence.
You know, as I'm listening to you, Susan, I mean, one of the things that really strikes me is, you know, in the environment that we're in where, you know, leadership, the kind of leadership that we need in today's world economy is, you know, it's so complex. You know, we're dealing with complexity. We're dealing with urgency. There's never been a time before in history where we've had multitude of complexity and a sense of urgency. And all these things that you talk about really speak to that as well. You know, that ability to, you know, confidence under fire, decisiveness, integrity, emotional intelligence. Like, wow, if there was ever a time for needing these kinds of skills, now's the time, eh?
Absolutely. And this is really what we're dealing with in the world in which leaders are having to work and act today, is that the level of complexity, the amount of information, the 24/7 nature of what is coming in means that we can't control it all. We can't know it all. All we can do is be aware of where we are and try to invite others to bring their best selves and their best thinking and their most high payoff actions to any given decision, because there isn't any way to know or control it all. In fact, no one today would probably even try. And this is why we focus so much more on helping leaders learn to become very curious and to ask really challenging questions versus feeling that the leader needs to have answers. This work shows us it isn't that you know everything or that you have answers. It's that you are the type of person that can invoke and invite questions and curiosity, and you can hold your own in a complex environment in which there may not be a clear-cut answer.
Yeah.
There are a couple of other things on this area of gravitas that I just wanted to wrap up. One is 56% of the respondents said that reputation and standing were the most important aspect of gravitas. And we all know how long it takes to build a reputation and how quickly one can be destroyed. And so managing one's reputation, curating one's reputation, asking questions of, is this consistent with who I am in the world? Is this the kind of thing that I want to be a stand for in the world? You know, would this pass the front page test is the question. Consistently asking oneself that is going to add and enhance one's reputation and one's standing in an organization and in a community. And then last but not least, 50% of the leaders said vision and charisma. This one kind of struck me as a little odd because I find in the work that I do with leaders that they simply cannot close a performance gap without vision. Simply cannot. Mm. And typically where there is a big breakdown in the ability to create a high performance result, I often can trace it back to lack of clarity around the vision or lack of communication between the leader and those who are responsible for moving the vision forward. So it shocked me that vision came in at the last standing in terms of gravitas, because we know how critical vision and strategy are to overall leadership effectiveness. But nonetheless, I'm just reporting what the executive presence study demonstrated. In terms of the top communication traits that were considered key components of executive presence, not surprisingly, the number one trait is superior speaking skills. 60% of respondents said the ability to speak. 49% said the ability to command a room. Now, this one's kind of interesting because, you know, people think that commanding a room maybe means being able to, you know, speak loudly or speak in a way that everyone puts their pencils down and listens to you. But there is actually a secret weapon to commanding a room. And the Dalai Lama has used it when he addresses meetings with tens of thousands of people. And Stanford Weil uses it, and Sally Krawcheck uses it. And can you guess what that is, that powerful weapon
I'm going to guess. What I'm just because you started with the Dalai Lama, and my first reaction is silence.
That's it. It is silence. You can use silence wisely, and you can command a room. And there are numerous examples of people walking into a room and simply being silent. And that gets people to sit up and take notice. You can use it well. You can also use it in a contentious meeting where everyone may be very elevated. And if you just get really, really quiet and don't speak, sometimes you can calm a room down by using silence as a sort of decompressing action step. So that is an effective communication trait. The third, right behind it at 48%, is being forceful and assertive. So the ability to advance one's position, not allowing other people to take charge of you, to be strong for what you know you need to do and believe in, and to be forceful and assertive around that is considered to be an important component of effective communication. Then we drop down to the next one, which is at 39%, the ability to read a client, a boss, or a room, the ability to pick up on what other people are feeling. Again, this is also a dimension of emotional intelligence, but it is a communication skill as well. Being able to walk into a room and know that what you had thought you were going to do, you can't do. And sometimes the ability to improvise is really, really important in that arena. Coming in with a talk prepared and realizing that the room you thought that was going to have 200 people has 20.
Hmm.
So a formal presentation isn't going to work when you've only got 20 people. But a conversation would be brilliant. So you throw your PowerPoint out and you sit and you dialogue with people. And there are examples of well-known, highly regarded speakers who have done that and literally been transformational in engaging a small audience around something that is a very meaningful and important topic, but they had to shift the whole way in which they communicated. The last one, and I love this one, is the sense of humor, the ability to banter. 33% of people said this is important, the ability to laugh. And I love this one particular example that Sally Krawcheck uses. She's the founder of 85 Broad. She used to be the CFO at Citigroup, and then she went over to Merrill Lynch. Very, very senior level Wall Street executive, high-profile woman leader in the financial arena. And she uses this example that says, you know, if women are stalled in their careers and they need a leg up, it's because they're worn out, exhausted by all the demands, the professional and personal things that are placed upon them. She says, do the math. Women spend so much more time on personal grooming than guys do. Take me. I spend more, let's assume 15 minutes a day, an hour and 15 minutes a week, 5 hours a month, 60 hours a year on hair, on makeup, and I haven't even shaved my legs yet. I've not dyed my hair. There's no mani-pedi. My brows haven't been waxed. I haven't gone to yoga. I haven't run. I've done nothing but my friggin' hair and makeup. And I just love that because it says how we can communicate a pretty serious point, but we can make people laugh. Yeah? We can laugh.
Beautiful.
Because it's so true. It's a conversation that matters, but it's done with lightness and humor. So I thought listeners would enjoy that. And then the last one is body language and posture, of course. They say 21% of your communication effectiveness comes from body language and posture. That's a bit low considering some of the other research we've seen, but we know it is important. So to stand up straight, to have your eyes being focused at who it is you're speaking to have your shoulders and your head resting on your shoulders, to have alignment of your spine, to have your heart being open, that projects and exudes confidence and an inner sense of groundedness, which is very, very attractive.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love that. And yeah, it's surprising as well at 21% on body language and posture. And yet, to your point, it exudes what's going on inside. If you can straightening up your posture, you reflect a different outward appearance and gravitas. So very cool.
Yeah.
I love that word, gravitas.
Yeah.
It's an interesting word, which is, and we didn't start with that, but and I know we said gravitas was how you act, but is there a definition for the word gravitas?
So I think it's being able to be seen as confident and serious isn't the word, but it's a measure of confidence. It's a measure of projecting that you have that je ne sais quoi.
Mm.
We, as I said, we kind of know it when we see it.
Like
we
the missing link.
The missing link. We kind of look at people that have it and we say, oh, they have it. You know, it brings to mind an example of a client that I had who was a senior level executive in a professional services industry who was a technical whiz at competencies. And yet this person was at a senior level, and what they needed to be able to do at this level was to, you know, to bring in business, to make rate. It was not just about being a technical expert. It was about being able to create and sustain those relationships with clients, and to be able to bring in lots of new ones. This is how you grow in a professional service organization. And this client came to me and said, you know, I've gotten such great feedback on my performance reviews for the value that I bring to my clients, the positive relationships I've engendered. I'm very well respected by them and all of that. But the feedback that this person was consistently getting was, quote, lacking gravitas.
Mm.
And so the people in this professional services firm hooked into what they were seeing wasn't coming across. And as I reflect back on this now, I see that what they were looking for was this confidence and decisiveness and showing teeth, speaking truth to power. It had nothing to do with knowledge, but it had to do with that sort of inner game that this individual had never paid much attention to because they had been so busy developing the technical competencies for being a high performer.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't really ever developed that. And so it was an opportunity. And that's what, you know, that's what we ended up developing and focusing on. And as a result of that particular engagement, that individual ended up getting the biggest piece of business they had ever gotten in their career as a result of working on some of those competencies.
Beautiful.
So it can help.
It's interesting because so many people, you know, especially in the corporate world, you know, they get promoted based on what they know, to your point.
Yeah.
You know, they do a good job, they get promoted. They do a good job, they get promoted. They learn some stuff, they do a good job, they get promoted. And then all of a sudden, they hit the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know, you know, what kind of, they keep butting up against it. They don't know what will take them over. And it really is about, and then, of course, they, you know, the corporate HR people call people like you and I and say,
yes,
work with this leader on executive presence.
Yes, because it's derailing them now.
Because
and whereas earlier in a career, it wouldn't derail someone. But as you get more and more responsibility for leadership and influencing others, it becomes the critical missing link, as we discussed.
Yeah.
And the good news is that, you know, you can develop it. This is the good news. It isn't that you have to be born with it. You can develop it. And there are specific things that you can do, and we'll talk about a few of those later on. But as you and I know, as executive coaches, these are competencies that can be developed and strengthened.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Now's probably a good time to go into that, because you mentioned earlier that gravitas can be cultivated. And
yeah.
So, you know, it kind of answers the question of, you know, are you born with it or can you develop it? I guess some people are born with it, and then
mm-hmm.
others need to work at it. So can you speak to that
yeah.
a little bit more?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've been searching for how to help clients achieve truly transformational results ever since I began working in this arena. You know, shifts that will help them obtain nothing short of transformation in their professional and personal lives. And what I've discovered is that this requires leaders to be connected deeply to who they truly are, because only then can they connect to others in order to influence and lead effectively. So I've really gone about this by making a long-standing study of both modern science and Eastern wisdom traditions. Now, modern science has now been able to document how the brain-body performance can be enhanced. And we have learned that leadership, to be effective in this complex arena that we just talked about, in the world in which leaders are tapped today, requires us to use more than at any other time in history. And it's not just the brain. We have to learn how to use all three of our brains. Now, you may be saying, what do you mean three brains? And I'm going to say that the most recent neuroscience research shows that we actually do have three brains. We have the heart, the mind, and the gut. And there are neurons and neural connections between these three brains with complex and functional neural networks in both the heart and the gut brain. And there are two Australian researchers named Grant Susalu and Marvin Oka who have done behavioral modeling research on how the heart and the brain helps leaders in the area of decision-making, action-taking, intuition, relationships, wellness, and fulfillment. And their research has shown that leaders who can tap into all three are able to harness the full intuitive and innate intelligence in decision-making and leading. Now, this came as no surprise to me because of the work that I had been doing for years in using Eastern wisdom techniques, which are basically the old way of doing what now science is explaining. And we know from this that the heart functions include emotional processing. So how do we experience and feel, our values and our priorities, and relations, like how do we affect and work with others. So that's the prime function of the heart brain. The gut brain, as you might imagine, is about the core identity, the sense of ourself. So it's about protection and preservation of self, safety, boundaries, you know, those kinds of things. And it's also the impulse for action. It's mobilization. It's where we get the courage to act. We always say, I've got a gut instinct. That gut instinct, that gut brain, is what, as a leader, tells us, I think this is the right thing to do. That's what Captain Sullenberger relied upon. He had the mind and the brain experience of what needed to be done cognitively, but his gut had to be engaged for it to take root. Now, the primary functions of the head brain are, of course, cognition, thinking, which includes reasoning, you know, analysis, abstraction, and making meaning, which is what we do when we communicate through narrative and language. So this research showed that it is critical for leaders to access all three of these intelligences when making decisions, and that we should really aim for the highest expression. So what does it mean to be truly and deeply human? It means to lead with our head, our heart, and our gut. The head allows us to access our creativity. The heart allows us to access our compassion, and the gut allows us to be courageous. But not only that, there is an organic and foundational sequence to how to deploy the three brains. And where do you think it begins? That might be surprising to listeners.
Where it began in terms of the sequence?
Yeah, huh. Where would you start? Like if you were trying to be a truly effective leader and decision maker, which brain would you think needed to be activated with first?
I'm going to say the heart.
Yep, it's the heart. And because we know that when we engage the heart brain first, we ensure a connection to the people we're leading. And this values-based connection within oneself helps create energy for others to respond to what truly matters to them. This is the emotional sort of fuel that creates engagement. So we've all been in organizations where we've seen that there wasn't a connection between the leader and a team or within a leader and him or herself.
Yeah.
And one of the first places we have to look is how to get that back in alignment, how to connect to that heart brain. That's one of the absolute most critical things to develop. So we start with the heart. We move to the head and to the connection to the thinking part, the cognition, the reasoning,
mm-hmm.
and then the language. And then we move back to the heart. And then we check in with the gut to say, what needs to be done? Is this safe? Is this secure? Can I manage this? Can we manage this? Do I have the courage and the will to move forward? And then finally back to the heart. So what's so intriguing to me about this neuroscience research is that it's kind of quantified and documented. What we have known in the yogic tradition for thousands of years has been referred to as the polarity. Mm-hmm. So when leaders learn to access this optimum state of balance, the polarity, this is when executive presence becomes available. Executive presence can take root when we have the ability to fully access our entire system, both our thinking and doing system and our feeling and being system. And they're not the same. So we've known for thousands of years that there are two components to our being able to be in the world. One is the relaxation response, and the other is the activated response. And at work, most of us are in this sort of activated arena, you know, coming from our left brain. We're very logical, very irrational in our thinking, and, you know, we're very engaged. And also, this is the part of us that accumulates a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we know from research that this is the part of us that's active in beta brainwaves. This is the beta brainwave state. Now, the opposite to that, the polarity of that, that we as human beings need to have in order to be in balance, is to activate our parasympathetic nervous system. Parasympathetic nervous system affords us the ability to access our right brain, which is where our receptive and intuitive abilities lie, where we can visualize, where we can be relaxed, and we don't feel anxiety. It's impossible to feel anxiety in this state. And so we call that the feeling and being state. So I've seen this sort of play out over and over again with leaders that typically, so much of what goes on and where we see a lack of presence and executive presence, it's because people are not able to access all of themselves. And when they can access all of themselves, then they're truly operating from a balanced perspective. They do end up getting that, projecting grace and confidence under fire. They are able to communicate effectively and decisively. They do engage and inspire others. And everything begins to shift. So we know that that's important. We know that that's important. And I think that the next question that typically I get from people is, so, you know, that sounds great. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's my burning question is, you know, what do the listeners need to do in order to, develop that or strengthen it?
Yeah. So to develop and strengthen this is so simple. It's almost frustratingly simple. And yet, very few people will actually choose to do it. And here's the secret. We need to cultivate a centered presence. So by that I mean learning how to be centered in a neutral state of emotion so that you can then check in with how do you want to engage with others. Because you cannot extend externally to others in the world something that you do not possess inside first. And what I've observed, and I don't know about you, Linda, with the work that you've done with clients as well, is that so many people don't have any idea where they are,
mm-hmm.
much less where other people are. So if you can't calibrate where you are, how can you possibly influence and lead other people? You have to know where you are. So the way to do that is to get centered. Centered means you go into neutral. It's kind of like when you drive a car, you know, you put your stick shift in neutral and you can go into reverse and you can go into forward. But if you're in neutral, you have a chance to make a choice. centered allows you to access who you really are. And we do that by the breath. Because the state of our mind is directly correlated with the state of our breathing. So we train our leaders how to use breath to access the state of deep relaxation, which will then activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which will then engage the right brain, which will then access the visualizations and the intuitive receptivity, and allow the body to relax, allow emotional overlays to simply pass through without getting attached. And this is what affords, for me, the ability to begin to cultivate this elusive executive presence. So that is how we would begin to do it. So they would begin with the breath, and then they can get to the clarity of vision. Because once you are centered, then you can begin to think, what do I want to focus on? What do I want to create? And that gets us out of the realm of thinking about the problem that's in front of us today, and instead focus our energy on the forward momentum of, where do I want to go? Does that make sense?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit in my own words, just to make meaning for myself and also perhaps for the listeners. But if I was to summarize what you were saying, Susan, what I'm hearing is, you know, we are in a constant state of doing activation, and what we need to do is every once in a while, in terms of centering our presence, is get into a state of simply being. And so that polarity that you talk about, you know, is that balance between being, which, and breath work will help us get there so that we can center and regroup and kind of reclaim our place, so that then we can actually start doing from a place of bigger purpose, bigger vision, more control, less overwhelm and stress, and more knowing and greater sense of presence. Did I kind of capture that in the...
100%. Yeah, that's it. It's the, you know, we spend so much time thinking about the external, you know, how to do something outside of ourselves. And when I first began this work, Linda, I noticed that not a lot of folks were focusing on the internal. And for me, that was where all the action was. It was like, if I could learn to do this for myself and I could teach this to other people, what would be possible? So I set about, you know, in the beginning, sort of not talking about it, but just doing it. You know, once I created enough of a trusting relationship with a client, I would just sort of, you know, ask permission and then just start doing it and teaching them the kind of material that I'm teaching to your listeners today. And what I noticed over the years is that what I thought was going to be a lack of receptivity was the exact opposite. Mm. That leaders were picking up on the fact that intuitively they knew they wanted or needed something different, but they didn't know what to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And once we helped them see that they could have this and that they could control how they were in relationship to any situation, even though they couldn't control the situation, they could control how they were, and they could choose to respond instead of react, it was a game changer. And for those that practice it, now I've got teams who do this with one another. I had one client a few weeks ago who said, you know, he was probably one of the most cynical clients that I had in the beginning, and, you know, so they're very stalwart and successful senior executive who, you know, was kind of the last person I thought might be very open or receptive to this, and it was just the opposite. He, you know, the first leadership retreat we did, I thought his eyes would just roll out of his head when he saw me beginning to teach this. And a couple of months ago, he said to me, as a result of what we've been doing, I wanted to tell you that not only are things going beyond what I could have imagined in the business unit I operate, but I've lost 20 pounds and I've been able to get off my blood pressure medication.
Oh, my God.
And I was so thrilled for him because, you know, we didn't set out with that as a goal. That wasn't on our coaching goal sheet. We had some very specific business metrics that we were reaching. But as a result of him wanting to change the relationship to how he was leading and influencing, he got all these other benefits.
Beautiful. I love it. Now, Susan, what are some resources that you could refer our listeners to?
Yeah, so I think that the resources that I would recommend would be my book, Step Up Now, 21 Powerful Principles for People Who Influence Others. It's available through my website, also on Amazon and in the Kindle version. It offers a simple yet not necessarily easy, but it's a comprehensive blueprint that will help you transform your leadership from the core. And that will affect executive presence and so much more. So it's a very, very good and basic first step. There's also a reader action guide that's available for readers that they can download complimentary on my website and print and use that as a workbook for the action steps that are in the book itself. In addition, my website offers weekly Step Up Leader tips and tools on this and other related topics weekly. So if you visit my website at stepupleader.com, you can sign up for your complimentary copy to be delivered to your inbox. And we do respect your privacy and, of course, will not share our list. And you could, of course, opt out if you choose to do so at any time. And then lastly, of course, Sylvia Ann Hewlett's book, which is called Executive Presence, The Missing Link Between Merit and Success. And this book is just chock full of stories that illustrate some of the points that I highlighted today in a memorable way.
Beautiful. Thank you. Now, if listeners wanted specific help on developing their own executive presence, do you have any programs to assist?
Yeah, so I am going to be offering a executive presence checklist for listeners. That's going to be my gift to listeners. And you'll be able to download that from the stepupleader.com/executive presence checklist arena. And I recommend that listeners who are really serious about this topic invest in themselves. Now, you've worked hard to get to where you are in your career, and oftentimes to get to the next level, it requires an investment. And if you can begin to see that there is something that you want to reach, develop, and accomplish that you haven't yet been afforded the opportunity to do and can be supported to do that, it can make all the difference in the world. So, you know, get some altitude and work with, you know, other resources. Take a course, take a workshop, get into a mastermind group with others that you respect, or, you know, best of all, work with a professionally trained executive coach.
Beautiful. Now, Susan, I just, for the benefit of the audience, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, visit your website, what's the best place for them to go to get to access you?
Yeah, so you can connect with me via email, susan@stepupleader.com. Also, I'm on LinkedIn. You can connect on the link on my website directly to my LinkedIn profile. And I'm also going to be offering a special career resilience roadmap discovery session, and this is just for listeners of the Career Success Telesummit. We've designed this deep dive to be an opportunity to help your listeners discover what it is going to take to get to that next level, to position themselves as a step-up leader, someone who's ready to be put into the next level of leadership in their career. So in this session, this 45-minute private session with me, you're going to get clear on where you want to go. You're going to explore your development opportunities with regard to executive presence specifically. Discover what it's going to take for you to get set up for success. And then I'm going to give you a very special gift, which is your own resilience roadmap that we're going to develop in the session and that you're going to be able to take away and have for your very own work.
Beautiful. So I just want to, for the benefits of the listeners and for anyone listening either live or listening to the recording, I just want to kind of reiterate a few of the things that Susan has said here. Susan's free gift to all of you listeners is an executive presence checklist. You'll definitely want to download this. And after listening to Susan today, and oh my God, I took copious amounts of notes, Susan, so tremendous value and information. So you'll definitely, for the listeners today, you'll definitely want to download her free gift, the Executive Presence Checklist. And I just want to let you know you can access it one of two ways. You can access it either directly from the speaker's page, resultscatalyst.ca/2016speakers.html, or by going directly to Susan's website, stepupleader.com/executive-presence-checklist, executive-presence-checklist/. So either way to access her executive presence checklist. And I also want to kind of reiterate what Susan's just talking about now in terms of a resilience roadmap discovery session. Susan has this really cool special offer that's available, but it's only available for the next, I'll say the next month. It ends at the end of February 26, 2016, and that is a resilience roadmap discovery session. So if you're interested, this is something I highly recommend. As Susan indicated, it's a 45-minute session with Susan where you get clear on the next level role that you want to step into. You'll discover exactly what it will take to get you prepared and positioned, and also the outcome will be a resilience roadmap that you'll be able to walk away with clear next steps. Now, to sign up for this offer, you can go to stepupleader.com/resilience-roadmap-discovery/. Susan, is there anything else that you want to share with the audience about your resilience roadmap discovery session?
I think what I want to say is that this is a very unique opportunity. I designed this just for your listeners, put the template together that I'm going to be able to give them as a result of participating in this active work together. And I'm excited because I'm able to do this as a special gift to your listeners for this year for a very good value of $147. So it's, I think, a really exciting chance to start your 2016 off with some really new dynamic tools. And I really invite listeners to get serious about it and look at how they could benefit from this and get into action.
Absolutely. And if any of the listeners out there have been wondering, why can't I move to the next level? And this may be very much the missing link that they're missing and in terms of executive presence, and certainly this resilience roadmap discovery session will go a long way in helping them get there. Susan, do you have any last words to share with the group before we close out the session today?
I think I would like to leave listeners with just three small tips that would be helpful. To increase your gravitas, focus on helping develop other people's presence by first developing your own. So develop a practice for becoming centered. Have a vision. Have thought about and identified your core values. And choose responsiveness instead of reactivity. This is, to me, the secret sauce to develop and sustain gravitas. For communication, I would say focus on your voice. Focus on modulating your voice. Try not to sound stressed or shrill. If you have a tendency to do that, drink warm water with honey or lemon. Learn to lower your vocal modulation because tight muscles in your throat can produce a squeaky or raspy or a breathy voice. That's something simple you can do. And for appearance, be polished and well-groomed. Look in the mirror as if you're trying to see yourself the way others would see you. And have someone who you trust, who is objective and will offer you feedback about what they see, and receive that feedback in the spirit in which it is meant to help you look your most polished and your best groomed in whatever it is you choose to do. So those are the three simple tips I would like to leave listeners with for what they could do immediately.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Susan, I'm just the information you shared today was just so wonderful, and I know that the listeners will even when they go back and re-listen to this audio, will just get so much value out of what you've shared with the group. So I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. I want to really thank you for, you know, being the amazing leader that you are, and for sharing your wealth of knowledge and experience regarding executive presence.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. It's been such a delight and honor to share the stage with you, Linda, and to be part of your learning community once again. And I just hope that listeners take away some nuggets from what we've shared and discussed today and find a place for themselves where there's just a little opportunity to shift something for 2016 can make all the difference in the world.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Today we heard Susan Freeman speak on the topic Executive Presence for Leaders. Do you have a resilience roadmap? Again, Susan's website is stepupleader.com. And remember to get your free gift of the Executive Presence Checklist. Susan, thanks again for providing wonderful insights. And a special thank you to all the listeners who joined us here today. Before you all go, I just want to remind everyone on the call that we have many more incredible guest speakers and career experts available for you to listen to. So please take full advantage of this terrific telesummit. This is Linda Catalan, Career Acceleration Coach, and your host of the 2016 Catapult Your Career Success Summit. Have a terrific day.